Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
With the weather beginning to turn, the Climate Change Advisory Council has said there's been no tangible action taken by the government to try and mitigate the impact of powerful storms like those we witnessed here on the island last year. Take a listen to Professor Peter Thorne. He was on News Talk Breakfast earlier this morning. He's the chairperson of the Climate Change Advisory Council's Adaptation Committee, and he spelled out what exactly was needed.
Having prepared centres for to receive people if they need food, shelter, heat, shower, the basic human things, and also to make payments to these people very, very easy. You do not want to fill five forms. You cannot fill five forms if you do not have electricity, etc., etc. So immediate supports. But then in the much longer term, we absolutely need to take meaningful actions to strengthen communities, make them more resilient to these storms and the other impacts of climate change.
Yeah, so it seems to be quite clear what the Climate Council is telling us. We need immediate supports for those affected, and then we need some long-term resilience measures to try and help areas and homes that are affected. Maureen is with me on the line today. Maureen, I remember talking to you in January of earlier this year. You're living in Connemara. You might remind listeners what happened to your house after Storm Éowyn.
Nothing whatsoever. The house is in the same condition. Actually, it's much worse being left for so long.
And how badly was it damaged, Maureen?
The complete roof was taken out. Everything in the attic was blown away into a lake some 100 yards away. And everything actually was ruined inside in the house.
Like you were seriously affected by it.
Oh, very seriously affected by it. And it's getting very upsetting. The longer it goes on and nothing happening.
And like at the time, you came down, I remember talking to you in the days after the storm when things calmed down. I think were you staying with family members and you came back to you came back to look at the house, Maureen, and the roof was just lifted, lifted off the house, gone.
No roof, nothing left.
And there's been...
And at that time there were three of the existing walls which we thought we might be able to save. And they have to be torn down now and be started from new. Because all of the conditions of the weather, the bed, all the rain, their walls are ruined and all the ceilings have come down at this stage.
And now that you've had time in the past couple of months to go back and you know, look at all of your belongings that would have been stored in the attic and were blown away.
That's right. Yes. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't get any easier, there's no doubt. And 5 weeks ago, I had a private meeting with the Minister, Eric Cleary. And I hope, and I'm just hoping that in the next 4 to 5 weeks, there'll be something happening that they may be able to start and do something. My local TD, John Connolly, which is so helpful in every way, he's been helping me all along. But everything is still the same. There's no change.
No change. Where are you living at the moment, Maureen?
I'm renting a house in the Carne area.
Okay. And here we are now, the last day of September, and, you know, talk about more storms coming.
Well, that's the problem. There's more storms, which there will be, on the way. And it's the rain, really, that has ruined everything since the house did blow away. They were old walls, and they were made from cement and stone over 100 years ago. And they could have been saved if anything had been done immediately. Mm. But at this stage, they cannot be salvaged anymore.
The builder said
there was no way he could work on them. It would be too dangerous.
And what lessons, Maureen, you know, in the aftermath of all of this, you know, and in the weeks when other people, I remember talking to many around the Connemara area and trying to get power and electricity and water and the whole lot restored. What lessons would you have liked to have seen learned from that experience 9 months ago?
I don't know what really I can say about it, but I don't see much learned, quite honestly. I don't see much has happened. The people looked, they were waiting weeks for electricity and for phones, and there are some of them still not repaired properly. Even last night on television, it showed poles broken and thrown down in fields. And that's still, they still have to be repaired and nothing done. But I was the only one that was in this terrible condition.
I was sure
then I'd be, you know, I'd get priority and be in situ immediately, but I'm afraid wishful thinking.
And here we are 9 months on and you're still in rented accommodation, Maureen.
Yes, I am. And looks like I will be for a while.
Yeah. And how are you keeping otherwise? You're doing all right?
Sometimes. I get very down.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's very upsetting to see the condition of the house. And my health has failed due to all the stress and everything.
Yeah. And I'm sure, Eva, just the impact of all of this and even thinking about things that, you know, belongings that blew away and things you've lost.
Of course, yes. Yeah.
It's very emotional.
That can't be replaced. You know, many things that can't be replaced, I'm afraid.
Well, look, Maureen. I know it's very difficult because, as you say, you didn't think you'd be chatting to us 9 months on, and nowhere near back in the house, and no development or improvement works carried out. But look, please God, that'll come fairly soon for you. Emma's joining us as well, Maureen, because Emma, you were with us in the days after Storm Mayo, and you were affected in the west of Ireland too.
Yeah, I'm a wheelchair user from Athenry, and I was left without power for about 12 or 13 days. I could only stay at home, and during the day I could only go to my brother and sister's house to warm up, charge up my phone. Couldn't stay because they didn't have any downstairs bedrooms, and I couldn't charge my power chair, which I use a lot. And it was just pure torture, a nightmare.
I mean, you were really left, Emma, if memory serves me correctly. You physically couldn't move because the chair couldn't be powered for a period in the days after.
Yeah, I was really, really stiff. Like, moving was torture because I had a hip replacement in January 2024. And when the cold gets into me, I struggle with that because, you know, with both my hips. And the power chair gives me so much comfort that I couldn't go into it, and because I couldn't move it. It's a very heavy chair, and couldn't move it to charge it. It was just, again, I'm repeating myself, a nightmare that I would not like to relive.
And like you and Maureen that we heard from a few moments ago, two of thousands of homes and businesses across the country that were left without power after Storm Éowyn and Storm Dara as well, actually, prior to that. And at the time, the Climate Council told the government to prioritise actions, you know, that will have the most impact ahead now of the coming winter. And here we hear from the Climate Council today telling us that really no tangible action's been taken.
They don't care. Honestly, I from my perspective as a disabled person, they do not care if disabled people are left with struggling in the storms that are going to happen. I am absolutely terrified that another storm is going to happen as bad as Storm Éowyn, and I'm going to be left again and struggling to be in the with the storms. And I look back on that time and I really struggled with, like, I had great support from the Athenry TD Louis O'Hara. I had great support from him, but everyone else couldn't really help me. You know, I felt forgotten.
And in the aftermath of all of this, have you received any government help or any funding or supports? I know the government will, you know, if they were here, that obviously they'd say, like, you know, there's absolutely they care about people with disabilities and supports are there for them. But have you received any kind of supports like that, Emma?
No.
It's been nothing at all. So there's no contingency plan where you're living, that if we were to get another Storm Éowyn again and you were left physically not able to move?
No. And in Athenry, like, I don't know where they would be able to put, like, one of those zones where people could go to, because as a wheelchair user, there's not many wheelchair accessible places in Athenry. So I'd be without, again, I'd still be struggling like 9 months ago.
Because they talked about emergency response hubs. Isn't that what they call them? The ERH have these response hubs where you and other so many others, slash or anybody in a community affected, would be able to go and get the necessities.
I want to be corrected if I'm wrong, but if there was one in Athenry, it was in our local community centre, and our local community centre is not wheelchair accessible. There's a really big, steep step into it, so I wouldn't have been able to get in, and other people with mobility issues would not have been able to get into that place. So we couldn't avail of any of that, because it wasn't put in an accessible building.
An accessible building, yeah. And they talked about, I think, wasn't there, that they wanted the establishment of a permanent extreme weather assistance scheme, you know, to support, people, businesses, communities. And you've heard no mention of that.
No, I haven't. Since the storm, I haven't heard anything at all. I've gotten on with my life and I haven't heard of any plans to help prepare for the next storm, because like Maureen said, there will be a next storm. We're still at the same type of risk of being without power for however many days, and that's not fair. It's scary. It is very, very scary. It's especially scary for me because I'm going to be potentially left being in pain again. I was in pain for those 12 or 13 days, I can't remember exactly. I was in immense pain because I couldn't sit in my power chair. I couldn't move around because I couldn't stay anywhere else. And I had hot water bottles, I was sleeping with my pajamas and loads of things on top of me, but I was still sore because the cold gotten into me.
I remember talking to you at the time, Emma, about it. Paul is with us too. Stay with us, Emma, for a few moments. Paul is with me as well. You're a home dialysis patient, Paul, is that right?
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
And you lost power too during Storm Eowyn.
Well, we had no power here for 4 to 5 days, but I was in hospital in the meantime as well.
Right.
But what I was calling for the last time I was on your radio show was two or three simple things, like your previous caller there. Like all the government needs to do is put a statute body in thing, and they're there already. You have the civil defence and you have the Red Cross. And another thing I wanted was a turnover switch fitted in all vulnerable houses. You know, a turnover switch, what it does is, if one of them authorities came out and they put a generator in, you need a turnover switch to change the power so they wouldn't be out on the lines. People with better knowledge of it will know, but I know what I'm talking about. You need a turnover switch if you're fitting a generator, which would keep that girl with the wheelchair going. And now the government there is a scheme out there. It's a vulnerable medical scheme, and I'm only getting solar panels in tomorrow, I think.
All right,
It's in conjunction with the SEAI and the government, but you have to have one of your electric suppliers on board, which is, there's only four of them, I think, and I'm with one of them anyway, but a bit of red tape getting it, and when I say that, you have to fight for it yourself. And you have to be on the, give me a minute now and I'll just get my thing right, a priority service register.
Okay.
Which people have to be on since 22. So that scheme was out there, but no one knows about it.
No one knew about it. And when you hear the Climate Change Advisory Council talking today, you know that, I mean, like they're out telling us today that they feel that there's been no action, no real tangible action taken by the government to try and have a level of preparedness ahead of the next storms, that we haven't mitigated at all against potential storms coming over the winter period. How do you feel about that, Paul?
That's why there was not even a phone call made from any authority to see how I was or anything like that, or what do we need to make sure that I have power for the next time. I am on dialysis 8.5 to 9 hours every night, right? I do an hour during the day, though. That's the manual. But when that machine goes off, where am I?
No,
like,
dialysis,
would you like to
in
that
the house.
Situation?
I know.
My family are said to be worried. Now, the government are given that panel system, but what you need, what I need, and what the other lady there needs is a UPS. It's a non-interrupted power service. So if they fit solar panels for you, they need a battery. because a battery will hold power for 8 hours. And if you had a generator, then if your lines were down and you had a generator and you could pump the generator during the day, you could charge that battery, which would keep you going during the night. Now, it's only for medical machines, and it has to be, there's people better knowledgeable than that, but there has to be a generator that, well, I'll put it in simple terms. If you turn on a tap and it starts spitting, and if you turn on a tap and it's complete pour out of it, that's the generator you want. You know what I mean? You need a very level source. You don't need the generator going up and down. Do you get me?
But I mean, people, I think, seem quite shocked today that there doesn't seem to be any level of contingency planning put in place since Storm Mayo 9 months ago.
There's none.
I mean, wouldn't you imagine that somebody in some HSE office, or I don't know, county, I don't know who's responsible for this, county council office, that somebody, Paul, could have sat and made up a list of the people. Sure, there's three, yourself, Emma, Maureen, all in and around the one region, three people alone that somebody would need to check in on, even particularly due to health concerns, yourself and Emma, if there was another storm in your area.
Well, there's not that many vulnerable people in every county. It's not, you know what I'm saying, in the areas, you know. I'm near Bannisloe, I'm near Shannon Bridge, and I'm near Athlone. And, there's not that many people. We'll just say my own, I'm not talking about my own illness or anything now, but say people that's on home dialysis. There's not too many of them. But there's you take young kids there that's priority. That needs a wheelchair lift going up and down in the stairs in the morning. How is the parents supposed to get them down if they have no power?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. When you think somebody could have maybe compiled a list of the names of the people that would be affected by this. What about you, Andy? You're in Galway as well. Are you surprised by the Climate Council's warning to the government today?
Hi, Andrea. Yeah, it's... I don't know. I'm in Galway, like in the West of Ireland, and nothing was really done. Like, you know, the army should have been called in straight away after Storm Owen. Like, you know, look, the meteorologists, everyone knew that this weather was coming, we were going to get hit hard, like, you know, and yet nothing was done. Even for weeks afterwards, there was no sign of Dublin giving Galway any help or even the West of Ireland, like, you know. Like, we had no power for 2 weeks. And, everyone else, there were houses around us. They were back up, like, you know, within 2 or 3 days. And yet it took us 2 weeks to get power back up.
Just fend for yourself, Andy.
Pretty much, like, you know. And, you know, nothing's been done to, like, you know, we should have all learned of what happened back then, like, you know. And it doesn't seem to be, you know, there's a storm coming in now on Friday and there's going to be weak trees there which are going to come down, take out power, and... Where are we? We're back to square one all over again. Like,
well, this Climate Council say today, there's a number of things, number of actions the governments could take right now, chief amongst them being the organisation or the establishment of these emergency response hubs, where you'd have a site where you could go and other people could go, like Emma and Paul and Maureen, and any of the necessities that you'd need, you know, in the event of losing power or if your homes were flooded, that there would be, you know, services there to try and support people.
Well, that's exactly how it should be. Like, you know, every other country has this, except for us. Like, you know, it's Galway gets all, you know, the West of Ireland gets all the winds. It's actually, they're grand, you know, they're well used to this. They're fine. Like, you know, they can look after themselves. Like, you know, and, you know, you're not, like, you know, there should be these centres set up, like, you know. Could be, you know, they were tracking that wind for a long time coming into us, and they came in with force, destroyed the place, and yet there was nothing put there. There was no centres, there was no even generators. Generators should be brought in, like, you know, for to get the water supply back up and running, like.
Even something to allow people.
Just simple things like that, like.
Charge.
But the army should have been brought in as well, like, you know, to help DSC clear all the trees and stuff, like, you know, so they could get the power back up as quick as possible.
Have we learned lessons from this? Dee is with us in County Kerry. Have lessons been learned in Kerry, Dee?
Hi, Andrea. Well, I mean, sympathy to Emma and Paul and Maureen, because, I mean, we had nothing.
It's unbelievable, isn't it, what happened?
Absolutely nothing. We had a very old ash tree that came down and stopped access and egress, you know, and a few days getting somebody to do that. But, I mean, when you're talking about people and looking, you know, having no power for life-saving stuff like health things that they need. I mean, we have nothing like that. But, you know, it's interesting, you know, when people are saying that the Climate Change Advisory Council isn't, you know, that this isn't happening for folks. But, I mean, sure, we know we've been warned about climate change for the last, and climate catastrophe, which we're in now, for the last 50 years. And governments have done precious little, really. You know, so, and that's on the macro level. And the micro level, then, we don't get it right either. So, and we will have more storms, no question.
Mm-hmm. We don't seem ready for them, though.
And temperatures are rising. So it's going to be, you know, the future is very fraught for all of us, and especially folks like we heard there today. I mean, every one of us are going to be impacted by this, and some more than others. And that's awful that, you know, that we can't even get these hubs together and, you know, and have, you know, things in place for folks who need it.
Yeah.
But sure, we don't do it on the larger level either.
Well, look, the council's telling us today, the Climate Council, that, you know, there's a number of actions that could be taken today in advance of this. And you'd like to think that maybe some of the local authorities along the west coast of Ireland would be able to get this level of preparedness in place ahead of the next storms, which will undoubtedly come in the next couple of weeks. We've already heard mention from Met Éireann of one in the coming days as well. How bad it'll be, hopefully not too difficult or too detrimental. Maureen, Emma, Paul, Andy and Dee, listen, thanks a million for getting in touch with us, for sharing your stories with us. We're talking about this today because of this warning from the Climate Change Advisory Council. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.